The SoCal Sound Sessions are listener and member supported. Please consider becoming a subscribing member. Click subscribe now at the top of the SoCalSound.org and make sure to choose live sessions from the drop-down menu.
Hi there. My name's Mookie, or Mark, if you will, from 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Please know we are listener-supported public radio. If you're not a subscribing member, you could sign up at any time and uplift public media by going to thesocalsound.org. Today we're joined by Winnetka Bowling League. We're going to get right into the music and then chat with the band. Here is the brand new song and a cool live version of Sha La La on The SoCal Sound.
Miss the us before all the arguments. Waking up at 10:30, holding hands at the farmer's market. Miss the us at the Archstone apartment with your roommates taking mushrooms and listening to 1989. Miss our feet before it was political. There's pictures of us kissing, dress you'd wear on Christmas Eve. I miss the us when we were both excited. Tell by the rising dawn, we talk all night and never sleep. This is the part where you say, hey, honey, I wanna try. We could talk in the morning, but this time, no. This is the part where you say, hey, it's all gonna be alright. God, I wish it was easy. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la. Sha la la, sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la. I miss the world before it was polluted. Space cowboy billionaires when irony was still ironic. I miss America right after 9/11, when everyone was bonded, even if it only lasted seconds. I miss the us when we thought we were cool, just two kids from art school, skinny ties and open collars. I miss the us when we were both excited, could tell by the horizon, but we'd text till we'd fall asleep. This is the part where you say, hey, honey, I wanna try. We could talk in the morning, this time, no. This is the part where you say, hey, it's all gonna be alright. God, I wish it was easy. Sha-la-la-la, sha-la-la, sha-la-la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la. Where you say, hey, it's all gonna be alright. God, I wish it was easy. Sha la la la, sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la. Sha la 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 la. Sha la la, sha la la, sha la 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 la.
All All right, we got live music here in our studio, brilliantly done by Winnetka Bowling League. That's the brand new song, Sha La La. You've heard the, I guess, the studio version on the air a little bit in recent weeks. We are joined by Matthew, Sam, and Chris, Winnetka Bowling League. Everybody, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
How are things generally?
Weighted question.
I know.
Heavy question. You want to get into it, or?
How deep do you want to go?
Things are good. They're okay. They're good.
Good.
Yeah.
Last time we saw you here in studio was pre-pandemic, certainly.
Yeah.
You gave us a cool version of the song On the Five, which we do play still to this day. I feel like that song will withstand the test of time.
And wow. Probably high praise.
Featured on the air forever.
Wow.
Yeah.
We should get a contract where you commit to that.
I might be able to commit to that. It's an easy one. It's a great song. And on your website, I think one of the best merch items is the 92 Subaru sticker.
I think, admittingly, we saw somebody else make that. And we were like, why are they selling that? We should sell that. Mm-hmm. So we bit off a
bootleg,
for our own merch. I think we just did that again with another song.
Good.
I mean, good ideas from good folks. Just, you know.
Well, that's cool. And again, WBLeague.com is the website. People could go and check out the tour dates. So we're getting you basically just ahead of a full-on tour. You're going to be headlining your own tour, you know, pretty soon. We just heard Akira Galaxy is going to be joining you on some dates and stuff, which is amazing. Again, WBLeague.com is the website. I'm glad I did a little bit of research on you guys because you are all, you know, world-class musicians, and this is not your first rodeo.
Just like good citizens.
Just
nice people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the donations we make to KCSN. Oh, shit. I can't say KCSN.
No, it's the SoCal Sound.
The SoCal Sound.
But you apparently have an affinity for radio, it seems like.
Affinity for this place.
Mm-hmm. And why is that?
Well, no, affinity for radio is fair. We grew up in, Chris and I are brothers, and we grew up in Long Island, and we had WLAR, which was a very influential sort of 80s new wave station that had a really big hand in the local music scene when we were growing up. So I think this makes us feel at home when we moved to Los Angeles and came to LA. It was like, oh, this is sort of the version of that, where it's playing new music, new artists. It's not your usual playlist. So I'd say the love for radio started there likely, and then
yeah, I agree.
We can't get that radio station out here. It's too far because the waves, they're just not strong enough yet. So until they figure out that science, we're going to keep listening to SoCal Sound.
Well, when you're on the road, we do have a fantastic app. You could stream the station from wherever you are. So, you know, there you go.
We do have a strict no music policy, though, when we're on tour. It's silence in the van.
It's silence.
Yeah.
No podcasting, no audiobooks, no nothing.
We don't even talk to each other.
Oh, sure.
Headphones are allowed, but
that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Even those might have to go soon.
Mm-hmm. Are you able to make eye contact with each other off stage? No.
Strictly off limits.
Okay, that's understandable. It's kind of like the Liam Gallagher, Noel Gallagher thing. We just had a cool version of Sha La La, and man, well, so you guys did grow up together, Chris and Matthew. You guys started playing music pretty early on at an early age, is that right?
I think we started playing when Matt was like 2.
Yeah.
I'm older than Matt, so yeah, when Matt was like 2, we started figuring out stuff together.
Our parents played, our dad played guitar and sang, he's a songwriter, and our mom sang. We were just kind of around it, so I don't really remember it being a conscious decision of like, oh, we're going to start playing music. We were just sort of always doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think even the dive into it becoming more serious doesn't seem like it was a decision or anything like that. It just sort of naturally progressed to the point where, oh, now we're in bands, and many years later we're still doing that.
So. Was it always drums for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I started playing drums when I was 5. So that was my main instrument. But we did at one point, we would switch. So Matt's a really good drummer also too.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a terrible guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
So we would switch. We had a music room in our house, and we always just played.
Chris would sing Rancid covers, and I'd get to play drums, and it was cool.
How fun.
It was pretty fun.
Do you consider yourself gearheads, if you will?
Unfortunately,
yeah. We all are very bad.
It depends on the month. Sometimes it's like, Sometimes it's severe.
You can try to keep it down for a few months and not buy anything, but it reemerges. Like, you can only keep it down for so long.
Well, I feel like you and you guys are studio people and have probably your home studios. You've produced a number of records for other musicians as well, so I'm not surprised that you're really into the gear.
You get bored once every few months, same toys, and they sound good, but you're like, what if I had something else?
So Chris and Matthew have been jamming out together for a number of years. Where did Sam come along?
Which street corner did you find me on?
Are you busking on the streets with
accordion?
An accordion next to Ed Sheeran or something?
Yeah, he was a couple blocks away.
Oh, okay.
It was either Sam or Ed. Our buddy Kenny introduced us. Kenny was in the band AWOL Nation, and we were looking for a keyboard player, and he introduced, or he recommended Sam.
But I'd only met Kenny like once or twice, and I didn't even think I made a great impression on him, but he still sent Matt my name for some reason.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we met Sam, and we didn't play any music together. We're like, yeah, you seem cool. Yeah. Hopefully you're not terrible at your instrument, and we'll continue on.
See if it works out.
Mm-hmm.
And some would say it has.
That's 5 years ago. So,
incredible.
And then he's an adopted brother.
There you go.
Yeah.
So again, Sha-La-La is the new single, and I believe that's the title track of the new record. And the date is May 31st. The new album is coming out. We're all very excited. I think you've said maybe in a publication, we're living in a very singles sort of era, you know? So up until now, you've just been sending out Winnetka Bowling League songs sort of in piecemeal, if you will.
Yeah. I think, a lot of EPs, there's something non-committal about being able to record, you know, a collection of 4 or 5 songs.
We're really afraid of commitment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I also think you're trying to find yourself as a newer band just because we've been in music previously. This is still a completely new thing, and you're trying to figure it out and get footing and understand the heartbeat of it, and that's constantly changing. And I think with EPs, it allows you a quicker exploration period of like, cool, we put some tunes out and then we get to tour it and then put some more songs out. And I think we learned a lot from doing that and from putting that music out, for better or worse. I think there's songs and periods where like, that was really cool, and others that feel like maybe that wasn't the thing, but all that information is helpful to then sit down and make an album that's a bit more of a, cool, this is sort of our first step in that way. And it feels more complete. It feels more like a full idea.
And I think you've said in the past, too, that you know, you had been busy for a number of years writing and recording music for other artists. And now it's kind of, this is your baby, if you will.
Yeah, I think, especially when you're first starting out in music, you have all of these ideas of what success is and how it's going to feel and what it's going to be, and you start checking some of those big wins off the list, and in that process, for me at least, I think I realized that just because of the numbers or if a song was a hit, it was more about the attachment for me. It was more about the process and feeling like, oh, the stuff that's really mine, if I'm playing that for 5 people in a room, that feels really fulfilling. And if there's something that I don't totally back or I don't totally resonate with, even if it's wildly successful, like you don't feel it. And obviously there's privilege in saying that, because there's freedom that comes from having success and having songs work that allows you to then go back to the drawing board and be like, okay, cool, I really want to hone something that feels more like mine. But there's something about getting back to the roots of just being in a band and making records that we think are cool and not really getting as hung up on what other people think.
Are people still knocking on your door to collaborate with you?
Yeah, I still work on a lot of other records. I think I just have a better way of balancing it now. I really like our band. I really like making our records. I really like playing shows. So as much of that as I can do, I like to do. And then when something comes up that feels like that's cool or that feels interesting or that excites me, like of course I want to.
Yeah. Well, let's get into another song if you don't mind. This is another new one off the upcoming record, Sha-La-La. The song is called America in Your 20s. I do want to talk about that a little more, but we're going to get into the music now. It's Winnetka Bowling League in studio here on the SoCal Sound.
Thank you.
young girls in a tennis match, and the one who hits the winner gets an urn of ashes from a late mother in a car alone she can't pay. From feeling cute with your gap teeth till the last trunk calls you a field goal with pink cheeks. Now you lost any glitter that you once made. So is the party over? Did tomorrow come too soon? Is this what getting older is? The more you know, the less you do. Nothing is serious or is funny. Is America in your 20s? Six and an idiot eating microwave pizza for dinner. At least I've got a white priest and a 2012 class ring. And though my heart is in Tennessee, everyone from my town is either dead or they're married. Well, James says they both mean the same thing. So is the party over? Did tomorrow come too soon? Is this what getting older is? You wake up in your father's shoes. It's gonna take your heart and your money. It's America in your, it's America in your 20s. Trust the boy who says he knows you want it, and he'll be pull out conscious. Nothing more patriotic than that. Drive your civic alone to a clinic. You and your morning sickness, they never taught this part in class. Nothing is serious or is funny. Everybody hates me, everybody loves me. It's kind of fucked to think that it's lucky. Be in America in your 20s.
There you go. That's a new song and a cool live version of America in Your 20s. Again, the new record's coming out towards the tail end of May. We got Winnetka Bowling League here in studio. Technically been a band since about 2018. Does that sound about right?
Wow. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, that works. And if people do enough digging, they could find your previous session that you did here in our studio.
That was fun.
First ever session we did.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah.
The definitive session, really.
Exactly.
You know, I don't think anybody's done it better since
no.
then.
It was the only third time we even played, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'd played two shows and nothing else before that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wild.
Right? Yeah. It was probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we name drop a little bit? Like, Chris, who are some of the artists that you've worked with in the past there behind the drum kit?
I used to play for LMFAO for a minute. I've never really played.
Chris's real claim to fame, which he doesn't talk about because he's too humble, is he invented something called the Big Fat Snare Drum. Which I'm just gonna tell
the full
it.
Pitch.
I'm gonna give you the full pitch.
Yeah, let's
It's basically a snare drum skin that goes on top of your existing snare drum that changes the tonality of it. And when he first told us about it 10 years ago now, we're like, that sounds like a really cool thing that like you're gonna use, your friends are gonna use. Then it blew up and it's now on every drummer's drum kit. It's in every studio. There's not a
every guitar center.
There's nowhere that you'll go that people aren't using this. So that's Chris's actual real.
Yeah, I don't know about the studios
world.
Yeah, I just really play drums with Matt. That's all I've really done.
Incredible.
I did a couple other bands through the years, but that's about it.
But the amount of times we play with bands that like they'll have a big fat snare drum on their kit or something, and then Chris is like, "Oh, that's my company," and they'll be like, "Oh, you work for them?" He's like, "No, I made that. That's my thing," and they get completely starstruck, and it's really sweet.
That's amazing.
Every time.
Yeah.
We just turned 10, I guess, like a week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that. You have another.
entrepreneurial sort of invention in your back pocket?
I don't know. Yeah, I have too many of them.
It's like 10.
Oh, yeah. That's what happens, yeah. Yeah, the company started out as one product. Now we have like 170 on the website.
Oh, my goodness. Where could people find that stuff then?
BigFatSnareDrum.com.
Okay, yeah. Amazing. And Sam, you've worked with a number of artists in the past, right? Like, can you give us a couple of examples?
Yeah, I've done a bunch with a close friend of mine, Lost Boy Crow, who's a great artist, and I have a record coming out that I did for him later this year. Artist called Max Frost that I have a really good song with that's coming out in a little bit. Just kind of whoever
he's
comes my way.
He's had a little bit of success in the past, I think.
He has. He's had a crazy journey and had a little bit of a resurgence, I think, the last couple years, and got a song we're really excited about.
Mm-hmm. And Matthew, if you don't mind, I mean, you have co-writing or writing credits with Carly Rae Jepsen, Tiesto, Kelly Clarkson, Shania Twain, Britney Spears, Pentatonix, Rustin Kelly, who we love.
Love Rustin.
Is it hard to write a song for a band like Pentatonix when you're thinking about like the, you know, the singing that's involved?
Yeah, that was definitely, sometimes it's fun to take on things that are so out of your wheelhouse because it's just, it's a challenge and it's different.
Yeah.
That was totally out of the wheelhouse. It's like, okay, I have no idea how to arrange vocal. Like, that's not my forte. That's not what I come from. Yeah. So it was cool though. They're such nice people and it was super fun.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. It seems like you did quite a number of songs with them, which is
yeah, cool. I think it was like maybe 4 or 5 years ago now. I think it was like as we were making the first Boneca record, that was like kind of happening. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're cool. It was fun. It was super fun.
So we've heard Shalala. We've heard America in Your 20s. We're going to get to an older release from Winnetka Bowling League in just a little bit. But I think you were saying, and I'm paraphrasing here, you had been writing about stuff in the past like heartbreak and things that may have affected you in your formative years or youthful years. How has songwriting changed since then, and what are you sort of reflecting about these days?
Yeah.
That's deep.
It's, it's interesting because you are married, I have many, many children, happily married, and feel very stoked in my life. So it's a very different person than, 10, 15 years ago when there's a different kind of hunger and there's a different kind of want.
Different priority.
Yeah, different priorities, different, versions of what you think it is that you're looking for or going for. And that's a very, very full well of ideas to write about and things to explore when writing. I think for whatever reason, I don't feel like I want to write songs about the great life that I'm happy in. It just, those aren't the kinds of songs that I think I relate to when I hear them. So for whatever reason, I feel like I've become a bit more retrospective in thinking about, I don't know, what life has been up until now and why it's gone that way, and having a little bit more kindness towards the kid I was that was really hard on himself, and sort of exploring that, which feels really personal and really specific, but I also think in talking about it or in starting to write about those themes, that they're really relatable for a lot of people who are, turning 30 and getting to that next chapter of life and sort of dealing with the loss of what was and what could be, and there's just different things that make you tick and different things that excite you, and that's okay and that's good, but it's just a different pot to pull from, and I think it's, at least for me, it's been a lot of fun to sort of have that challenge of, okay, like these old tricks don't work. I'm not really being honest if I'm talking about current heartbreak or something, because that's not what I'm, it's not where I'm at. So, without trying to sound overly self-important, I don't know. Songs are just songs.
I love how, no matter what, music can be so relatable to just the random listeners and stuff. And you might be talking about different subject matter back in the day, but again, it's pivoted in recent years as we get older and wiser and more life experiences, but people still can relate to these songs, and it's a remarkable thing. Playing the Troubadour, which is cool. You guys have been at that venue yet?
No.
Not this band.
No, we haven't. Mm-hmm. We haven't. Yeah, it's strange because we started this band right before the pandemic, so we had like a good year and a half of touring and building and putting music out, and then the pandemic hit, and it was kind of this weird like 2 year period of, okay, we're not really being a band. So this is sort of the first time on the heels of having taken like a year off and made this record that we're kind of going out and doing shows, and hopefully people come.
We thought there would be a renaissance of, you know, music coming out post-pandemic. Were you active together in your studios, working remotely,
music,
or just pausing completely?
No, I feel like we were like tiptoeing around, like making some songs here and there, but touring-wise, it was like tiptoeing, like what's possible, like if we put a tour on sale, will it actually happen? And it did, but it was just a little, it wasn't quite the same as putting together a full campaign around an album and a full tour around that and other support tours and everything else that goes with it. So this is kind of the first time since then we've been able to do like just a full cohesive campaign around something, whereas before it was like, is this still possible?
Right.
I think that probably informed why we also didn't make an album until now too, because it was like, well, we're watching friends put out records that they put their lives into, and there's not much they can do to promote them or even be in the cycle of it. So it felt like that's a lot of work and a lot of oomph to put into something to then sort of just drop it out and be like, cool, we can't really tour to support it or do anything. So,
or we put a tour on sale, but it gets canceled.
Which happened like three times. So I think...
Three times.
Yeah. 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 And then when we finally did do the shows, it still kind of felt weird. Like certain cities felt normaler, but then you go to a city where we've played a billion times and had great shows, and it's like the whole city's still shut down or whatever. It was just so different from place to place. So it feels like we're actually getting to re-enter
the world. I feel like there's a few artists who put out records during the pandemic and that turns out like to be their long lost record all of a sudden because they weren't able to promote it properly like they normally would. You know, it's crazy. But that Troubadour show is June 29th. Really looking forward to that. Good luck on the road together.
Thank you.
Even though you don't speak to each other off the stage, that's okay.
It's for all of our own benefit.
Text message only.
Yeah, okay. Hit the group thread.
Fair enough. Real quick, what's your relationship like with the Madden brothers?
Sweet.
It's a sweet relationship.
I love them.
Yeah.
When
the podcast just dropped, right?
It did. Yeah. So what's funny is a lot of people sort of speculate and think it's weird because Joel Madden dated my wife when he was younger, and they're like, that must be the connection. But really, when I was 16 or 17 and got my first record deal, Benji and Joel produced that band. So I've known them for like 20, 21 years.
What band would have that been?
Nothing you've ever heard. It was terrible. You never want to hear it. But they were very kind to us, and we've been friends ever since. So now it's come a very full circle thing where Joel is our next door neighbor, and our kids are friends, and it's just like a whole wholesome thing. Yeah. So it's very, very sweet.
And so now you're on their sort of boutique indie label. Is that what's going on?
Yeah. It was honestly, it was like just in figuring out like, how do we put this record out? And I think we're all at the age and point of like, let's just do things with friends that feels easy and fun and not complicated. And
I like it.
That's not complicated. So,
So when you say like the label is pressuring you to go to TikTok or something to promote your stuff,
don't really have that. Yeah.
Right,
but we're also pretty hard on ourselves. So we'll still
pressure ourselves.
We'll still try to participate in whatever way we can in those things and in those worlds. But yeah.
You put out some really interesting stuff on Instagram, and I want to see more of it. I want to definitely see more of it.
Like more skin, you're saying? Because I feel like I show a lot of skin.
Not where I was going.
Okay.
You know,
cool.
Just the tongue-in-cheek sort of posts. And
Yeah.
You know, it's good stuff.
It's social media is so strange, and I should try to have some fun with it.
Yeah.
It's so heavy. There's so much heaviness with it. So I don't know.
You guys are amazing. We're big fans and big supporters. We'll always be
there
for you.
Thank you so much.
And again, our doors are always open. Stop by anytime. Maybe we can work together on something else.
Pick you up on that tomorrow. Cool.
Well, you guys have a show in San Francisco tomorrow.
True.
Cancel it.
6 a.m.
Yeah. What time do you guys get here? What time are you in? What time do you get here?
Morning show's pretty early. They're early risers.
Like 4:30?
No, their show starts at 6 in the morning.
Okay.
And so they do all their show prep beforehand, so they wake up, come in, do the show.
Dang.
Bounce.
That's an early gig.
I got an open slot for you, by the way, if you do want a regular radio show.
I'm in. It's my favorite station.
I appreciate that so much. We're going to rip into this song, a cool live version of the song Slow Dances. Is there a storyteller's type of moment you could give with this song, or should we just get right into it?
I think the only flag of it that's interesting is we never put it out as a single or anything, but it's kind of like the song that
people most known song.
Seem to keep discovering in different ways, which is cool.
Incredible. What do you attribute that to? How did that even happen?
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It proves that record labels don't know which songs are the best ones.
Yeah, maybe.
It's also Sam's live dancing for that song.
Yeah.
The ladies go crazy for it.
Really?
No, not at all.
You know what I'm picturing is the guy from Mighty Mighty Boss Tones.
Oh, yeah.
The cheerleader guy?
Dance moves.
Yeah. The best. Yeah.
I thought that was the coolest gig ever he had growing up. Like, he's just he just dances in a suit.
Yeah. I don't know.
Why don't we have that? We should get that. And then we have to have somebody else. Yeah, never mind.
Sell merch and dance. It'd be great.
You guys want to dance on stage? No?
Anybody want to go to
the bowling league?
San Francisco in the morning? No?
These guys have a lot of work to do. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Talk to you really, really soon. Winnetka Bowling League, everybody, on the SoCal Sound.
Said I wouldn't, 'cause I shouldn't. If I hung a dream catcher over my bed, I'd get a million alternative endings from where you left me. And I do still think about you standing in your old boots, singing all the wrong words to a hallelujah sweatshirt on a warm day, trying to keep a straight face. That's how I knew you, talking with your fast hands, saving all your slow dances. I wish I was there. Intersect you. And I do. I still think about you standing in your old boots, singing all the wrong words to a hallelujah sweatshirt on a warm day, trying to keep a straight face. That's how I knew you, talking with your fast hands, even though you're slow dancing. Still think about you standing in your old boots, singing all the wrong words to hallelujah sweatshirt on a warm day, trying to keep a straight face. That's how I you're talking with your fast hands, even though you're slow dances. I wish I was there with you. Ooh. I still think about you. I still think about you. I still think about you.
The SoCal Sound Sessions are produced by 88.5 The SoCal Sound. Session hosted by Mookie. Audio recorded and mixed by Tristan Dolce. Edited by Matt Blake. The SoCal Sound is a public service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.